Friday Night Racing.
On Off the Ball.
And they're off.
Brought to you by Go Racing. Plan your day at the races at goracing.ie.
And you're very welcome along to Friday Night Racing. This is Johnny Ward standing in for Ger Gilroy. We have a very special guest today, one of the youngest trainers in Ireland, in Jack Davison. We are with you on from goracing.ie, and we have a fairly packed show today, which Jack is going to discuss maybe the issues of the future in terms of training in Ireland, what it's like as a young trainer setting off, and also just what's been happening in a fairly momentous few days on the flat. I suppose, Jack, the big news was the retirement of Pat Smullen, and we had a week of, I would argue, the two best jockeys in their discipline in Ireland, in Ruby and Pat, both departing the sport. But the platitudes for Pat Smullen certainly aren't misplaced, and they're not just people saying it because he's retired. He's actually just a great guy.
Yeah, by all accounts, people really are quick to compliment him as a person and not just as a jockey. Personally speaking, I don't really know him, but he has in fact ridden a winner or two for my parents. Really admire him. Grew up watching Pat Smullen, ride high profile winners, and it was great to see him in action, really riding great horses for Dermot Weld. It's sad that he won't be riding, but it's good that he's able to carry on in some capacity. I saw him in Chester yesterday in some TV work, but a great addition to Irish racing, and so he probably has another career doing something else in the future,
I think. It's a fairly crowded space being a racing journalist now, where Ruby and Pat Smullen are trying to edge in as well, which I'm not so sure I'm that happy about, but it'd be great to see Pat. Just the weekend that was gone. I know you're probably quite close to Sheila Lavery, where you train all that. She saddled the second in the Guineas. But it was an extraordinary performance by Hermosa, I thought, as well, to win the Fillies Guineas.
Yeah, for sure. It just shows kind of the strength and depth in Ballydoyle. I'm betting she appeared to be their second or third string, but she won really impressively and emphatically. Wayne Lorden did a great job in the saddle. That's just another three-year-old filly from the Ballydoyle juggernaut that's going to take a bit of stopping this year. She, as you said, Sheila's filly, Lady Kaya, was brilliant. It's good to see. It's good for the game. I won't say a small trainer.
Just an unfashionable, unfashionable profile, the horse, in from the start, taking on horses by Galileo and so on.
Yeah, for sure. And I suppose people think, oh, it's a pinhook. It was a pinhook, and the story's good behind it. They couldn't sell her as a yearling. Because it's just, by Dandy Man, it's not a Galileo, but he's a well-established stallion. But it's just something different. And she's clearly a very, very good racehorse with a good trainer and ridden by a good jockey. It'll just be exciting to see her now go back to 6 furlongs. I believe that's the plan recently. The Commonwealth Cup. So she has plenty of gears. And she's got a big stride. She's, really, really impressive, big, strong filly. So it'll be good to see her blazing down the Royal the Ascot Straight.
Absolutely. What do you make of the Colts?
Colts, yeah. This is a real, real talking point from the weekend. Thought it was more than. I thought the winner was very good.
Ideal. We should remind people that there seems to be a strong bias up the stand side at Newmarket, which. Yeah. In a race of the nature of one of the five classics of the season, obviously shouldn't happen, but it seemed that it did.
Yeah, it did, and that's not ideal. But I think Magna Grecia is a very good colt. He's clearly very fast. Sylvester D'Souza was on the near side as well. He likes to go from the front, so he set a good pace on the near side rail. So it just kind of worked out quite ideally for Dunica, but he had a winning partner in Magna Grecia. Listen, it'll be interesting to see if they reoppose in the Irish Guineas and they all come up together over a mile up the Curragh. It'll be interesting to see who comes out on top, but. I think the best horse won on Saturday, despite the bias.
What do you make of the Curragh, actually? I was there on Monday. I think we finally have a world-class race course now. There have been sort of some criticisms, teething problems, which I suppose you'd expect, but it's something I think that we should be proud of.
Yeah, I was actually there. I had a runner on Monday, and I was very proud to be there, seeing the Curra. Like, it's kind of unrecognisable now.
Oh, totally.
I was just very proud to be there and see its new development and have a runner there, actually. I wouldn't be so quick to criticise. I think that's... I'm kind of like a positive person. I think it's massive progress. That's the first thing that I think should be really sort of.
You must be a positive person if you're going training. I was thinking, is Jack the youngest trainer we've had on? And then of course I remembered, Well, Joseph Ryan's actually an awful lot younger than you. But I think you might be the second youngest trainer. So are you mad or are you just very?
I've thought about that a lot. I think it's a blend of the two.
Yeah.
But you know what? I'm kind of a passionate person. I'm positive. Racing horses that really sort of got the blood flowing, and I mean, I don't know if I just think there's always opportunity for someone who's kind of really into what they do, hard work, and who backs themselves. You know, I've been working a long time in the industry, so I mean, everyone wants to. The safe play is go consigning horses or breeding horses, but I like to take risks, so I decided to go training, and I have to say I'm enjoying it, learning a lot every day, you know, from my peers and even from the jockeys, the feedback from the jockeys, and a massive learning curve from when I started training. So now I'm happy with how it's going, and you know, a couple of big runners next week in York. I'm happy with my progress.
Yeah, I look forward to York next week because you have a couple of runners. I've done a bit of research ahead of today, and normally I don't really overdo the research ahead of these things. I'm a bit like Tommy Tiernan. I'm kind of like, Tommy Tiernan obviously has the excuse that he's no idea who's coming in, but I like to see what might happen in an interview. But I have done a bit of research because I know some of your family, and I've two horses to mention to you, and I just want to see if they ring a bell. Steelheart and Hot Spark.
Well, you have done your research.
No, I'm going back.
Yeah, we're really, really, my granddad, who I actually unfortunately never got to meet, he bred the two of them, and I think they were first and second in Royal Ascot in the late 70s. Mm. Was it the Queen Mary?
I think they were both, one of them ran in the Middle Park, I think.
Yeah.
But they were both of sort of sprinting, and Dermot well trained them.
That's right, yeah. Dermot trained for my grandparents. I wasn't around at the time, obviously, but my grandparents were sort of high profile breeders, and they had horses with a very good trainer, and the results were there, you know.
I did a bit more digging into this and how you ended up where you are in Clarkin and Dunboyne, and how your dad ended up there. And my understanding is, this brings me back to Pat Smullen, because I researched a piece today where Pat Smullen obviously married Frances Crowley. Now, Frances Crowley was, I think, the first woman to train a classic winner in Ireland in Sierra, which would have been maybe 2005 or thereabouts. But it turns out that there was a trainer, I think, in the 40s who was effectively training Worsley, maybe?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
She actually trained winners in the 40s, but in those days, if you were a female trainer, you couldn't get a license, which actually seems quite extraordinary now. I think in the that famous 1918 election was the first time that women could actually vote in Ireland, but you couldn't have a license in the 40s.
Yeah.
But Miss Worsley, who was obviously a very talented trainer, your father got to know her, and I think then he acquired her land in Killarkin, where you are.
I think it was Ginger Wellesley might have been the name of the trainer or something. So Clarkin was a training yard, and my granddad acquired it from him in the late 60s, and I mean, transformed it into mainly a breeding operation. They had a great broodmare band back then, you know. They used to actually, the stud groom then, actually funny enough, was working for me, God help him, but he quite often tells me about the horses they had and the horses they bred, and these sales topping yearlings year in, year out, and I'm just busy trying to recreate that.
Do you feel a sense of history there? I think it must be a lovely thing to wake up in the morning training from there.
Yeah, for sure, yeah, and I get great encouragement from that. Like, even when I go racing, I meet people who, you know my parents, but some of them actually know my grandparents, and it's nice to hear of the stories there, and it feels the fire inside me, and it gives me encouragement to just sort of keep going and
keep going. You've only started,
you know. Yeah, exactly. But it's a competitive game training racehorses in Ireland, but so you need those little things every now and again.
Absolutely. The two horses I mentioned as well. So Steelheart won the Middle Park and the Gym Rack for Dermot Weld, was second to Grundy in the Dewhurst. Yes. This is quite incredible form, and Hot Spark won the Flying Chillers at Doncaster. So I got on to Alan Sweetman, who's obviously one of the most erudite. He's probably the Tony Sweeney of the modern era, because since Tony passed away. So we said, we spoke about the horses, and he said they were by Habitat.
Yeah.
Habitat was owned by Tim Rogers, who's your father's godfather, I think.
Yeah.
And there's another interesting angle to this. So Charlie Haughey part-owned Habitat. Okay. And it suggested that it has a little bit of a role in Charlie bringing in the stallion fee exemption down the years, because Charlie owned a few himself. But we can almost trace Irish racing today back to Habitat and a sire of a horse that your grandfather bred.
Yeah, well, that's kind of you know what people say to me. Oh, your grandfather was responsible, or partly responsible, with Captain Rogers for syndicating Habitat and getting him to Ireland. And he was obviously a very good foundation stallion, and was the responsible for a lot of the good strong bloodlines that we have today. So that's really cool to hear. I didn't know that Charlie Haughey was a part owner, but thanks for that.
It definitely changed. Charlie definitely changed the course of Irish racing history. But your own history, how did it begin? Terms of getting into racing?
Yeah, grew up in a stud farm, great place to grow up. Watched my dad foaling mares and always kind of got involved. I was infected in the wound, maybe some would say, because my mother's quite into it as well. So anyway, so I dabbled with ponies when I was a kid, then I went to boarding school. So to be honest,
you went to Clongowes?
Yeah, yeah. We went to Clongowes, and rugby really took over for 6 years of my life. Played cup rugby and really
scrum half.
Scrum half and hooker, funnily enough. It was funny, but I loved that, and then played in college. And
any good?
Yeah, well, I'm not going to say yeah. I played to a good standard in school. I played on junior cup and senior cup teams, and played for UCD under 20s first team, which was a good standard, and loved it. But I mean, me being me, I always, I wanted to do really well at something. I kind of knew at that stage that the lads were just a bit too big for me. And I wasn't going to make a career out of it. And I was 20 years of age, and I said, well, what next? I was doing equine science in UCD.
A good grounding?
Yeah, it was. It was a 4-year course. Probably a year too long, but you have to kind of do
same as journalism, I have to say. Yeah, I did 4 years, 4 weeks would probably have done it,
but it was a good crack, I'd say.
Definitely good crack, yeah. So, don't remember much of it.
That was awesome, and I mean, the good thing about doing that course was it allowed me to get in the Godolphin Flying Star course.
So. Tell us about the Godolphin Flying Star course. So, that must have been a real bedrock for you.
Yeah, that was. It was amazing. It was great to. You're rubbing shoulders with the best the whole time. So, I grew up watching all these. Brilliant trainers and brilliant jockeys, and next thing you're going out to their yard and you're meeting them and you're getting advice from them. And I remember being lectured by John Ox and Dermot Weld, and you just feel like it was inspirational, really. So
how do you get into Flying Start?
You have to have a degree. Well, I won't say have to. You need to have a certain amount of, you have to have qualifications, third level, or maybe a diploma, or but if you don't have a third level degree, you have to have a really strong sort of experience, practical hands-on experience. It's quite a multi, it's quite a diverse course. So, in my year, for example, there was Japanese, there was Chinese, there was Australian, English, Irish, American, and that was really cool. So, to get on, going back to your original question, to get on it, you need to just be, I think, really driven and passionate about the industry, and have a clear vision of where you want to go and how you're going to get there. And I think if you can get that across during the interview process and, do reasonably well in the exams, that you've got a good chance.
What did you do thereafter then in the programme and the yards that you ended up studying at?
Yeah, I had some good placements on the programme. I sort of, that's when I really got into the training, because I was allowed, being an American in Kentucky for a certain amount of time, you have a placement in America. I did that in the West Coast in California with Owen Harty, who's a brother of Eddie. And that was really cool, you know, to be sort of shadowing a trainer in California. And, you know,
probably helped, he was Irish in a sense as well. This,
yeah.
You know, kind of, he understood where you're coming from.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. So, no, that was a big help. Other placements, who else? I suppose the key thing really after the course was, you know, you're kind of in this bubble a little bit, you know, you're in the Darling Get Off and bubble, and, you know, you're given every opportunity, and, okay, you have to work hard while you're on the course, but once you get out of the flying start and back into the real world, you know, it's. I was keen to get back to the coal face, so decided to go down to Coolcullen and work for Mr. Bulger. And
tell us about that. Stories are legion. Did he send you to mass and, you know, make you say the rosary or any of that?
No, that's all stuff of folklore. I didn't experience that. But
I think he might.
It was tough L going, Johnny. It was tough.
How long are you down there? What was it like? I was Bulger being a hard taskmaster.
Yeah, listen, I was there a year, and to be honest with you, at the time, that's all I could hack. But looking back, I think it was the making of me. After, you know, it was great.
Does Jim inculcate in all these kind of people who come in that sense of hard work, and he knows that it's difficult? I remember going to the Gaeltacht when I was younger, and I resented my parents for not letting me go home, but after the 3 weeks or so, I think it helped me as a person, and I changed. And maybe with Jim Bulger, you do your hard year, you just probably grow into a man to an extent from it, because it must be quite tough.
Yeah, it's tough, you know, but it's a tough industry, you know, like in Ireland, like it's really competitive, like training horses, go racing, and even to get a horse placed, Johnny, and, you know, and keep the whole thing going, it's tough now. So I think for me, it was a great grounding. It was tough down there, but I developed a thick skin.
Any good stories about Jim?
Oh, good stories. Stories about Jim. Well, I was lucky enough to get a lot of kind of one-on-one interaction with him. Now that was quite terrifying as well.
Like, it was quite terrifying.
It was pretty scary. Like, I was in the office for a while, and that was good. It was, you know, I got a real insight into how he operates. And what an operator! What a man! He's
self-made as well.
Self-made. I think that it's to think of what he's achieved and what he's built. It's mind-boggling. Like, you know, when I look at where I'm at, and, you know, I'm a young trainer making a go of it, and he's to me, like, you know, Aidan O'Brien is a genius and a master trainer, but, you know, the boss is the best, but in my eyes, from, you know, he's obviously he runs a business, but he's also a brilliant trainer, and he mixes a blend of the two.
You mentioned Aidan, and you mentioned Tony McCoy and Paul Carberry, and the list of people who went through there, and, you know, it's, I don't think it's by chance that it helped them along the way.
No, definitely not. I mean, working for Mr. Bulger, like, it instills like routine, hard work, discipline.
Still Mr. Bulger to you as well?
Yeah. It took me about a year or two to stop calling him boss.
Yeah.
But every now and then, I call him Mr. Bulger. Yeah,
it's like
a lot of respect for him.
Our old principal in National School, we still call him the master when we meet him, even though he's probably in his 60s now, and I'm mid-30s. But where did you go from there?
Yeah, from there, I went back to Australia. I worked for Gay Waterhouse in Australia.
That must have been wonderful as well.
Yeah, listen, it was kind of a bit strange for me, because I went there and all of a sudden I was a track work rider. And I think I went over there and it was so hot, and within 6 weeks I lost stone and a half. So I was 9.5 stone, and I was riding 8 or 10 horses a day. And it
wasn't really what you signed up for.
No, but I kid you not. Like for the first week or two, I was so sore. My body was in such pain that I was strung out in painkillers, and I was in the cold pool in the sea, just trying to get my body into action. And I actually worked something like 56 days, you know, on the bounce.
Straight.
Yeah, and we were starting at 2:45 in the morning, so I just kept telling myself at the time, if I can do this, if I can get through this.
I thought it was bad at gym.
No, honest to God, yeah, yeah.
Ring Jim, bring me back.
I'm crying down the phone to him, but she's a really good operator. She's good at the two-year-olds. She's a great worker herself, you know. She sets the standards. So while she's and sometimes you think she's flogging you, you know, she's there watching the work at 4 a.m. too, you know. So she sets the standard. And like,
I think that's the thing as well. If you look at Michael O'Leary and if you were working for Ryanair down the years and you think, like, why am I slaving like this? But to be fair, the guy who's at the top is actually working his ass off as well. And he doesn't care what he's doing as long as he's working. I think that probably it makes it a bit more kind of achievable.
Yeah. Like, there's nothing like it. Like they're the leader. Like, you know, you even see Mr. Bulger. Like, incredibly enough, he still drives 5 or 6 of his yearling/2-year-olds in the middle, in the depths of winter. You know, up and down the Gallop, and it's not, it's still quite dark. So,
how did you get through Australia then?
I was 6 months at Gaze and always wanted to come back. I just didn't see myself there long term. I knew I had an advantage insofar as that the home place was there. And
was it always the idea you go back to Killarkin and train from there?
I'd say my parents would probably rather I decided I'd go breeding horses or consigning horses.
More stable.
Something less mental, or something more stable. But as I said, I'm quite passionate, and what gets me going gets me going. And
was it back from Guy's to Killarkin then, or where did you go
from that? Okay, I came back and I started prepping a couple of yearlings for my dad actually from the home place. But I had 6-8 weeks there, so I went over to Newmarket and rode out from Roger Varian. Came back, prepped the yearlings. One of them actually turned out to be pretty good. His name is London Icon. Adrian Keatley trained him. So that was cool. And I just remember prepping him, and I was hand walking him and lunging him, and just loved him. And I said, you know what, I'd love to put a saddle in your back, you know, but it just, the way it was.
Yeah, we'll put a saddle on the horse, the back of a good horse. So.
Well, it just so happens that I got to put a saddle on his little sister, Black Magic Woman, and she was my first winner. So that was pretty cool. I knew the family a little bit, and it was.
How
just,
did you acquire, these are the stories I like. So London Icon, I think he won the Lincoln, if I remember rightly. He certainly was a good horse riding kiddie, but so half-sister, Black Magic Woman, half-sister?
Yeah, half-sister.
How did you acquire her?
By Camacho, homebred. Unfortunately, we lost the mare, so my dad just would like to continue the bloodline, and he was happy to lease her to me, you know, to syndicate. So the deal being, I train her, he leases her out to me, I get people involved. Thankfully,
she wins
she's
at Dundalk second time.
Yeah, she won at Dundalk. She won at Dundalk. Great night. There was nothing like it. It was just a great sense of relief, really. It took a lot of graft to get to that point, and it's a cutthroat game. Like, you're judged on winners, and that sort of thing. So just to get the win up was just like. It was just relief, really. Yeah.
Your most significant winner was a horse by the name, I would argue, of Fresnel, because of what she might achieve. And I know your first cousin. I texted her the day before. I saw her the day before, and I looked at the card and I said, Jack actually has a See the Stars filly here that's 100-1, and I'm not saying she'll win, but just looking on her pedigree, it wouldn't amaze me if she ran into the money or something like that. Yeah. And I just said, make sure you text Jack about the horse. And she said, oh, yeah, I will. And then I met her the following day and I said, just make sure, I didn't know you, make sure to text Jack about the horse. She didn't text Jack about the horse. And I was on the train down to Galway to watch a Galway United match. And I actually backed Aidan O'Brien's horse in the race, a Galileo horse, a Joseph Trains, actually, I think. Yeah. And Fresnel won well.
Yeah.
At 40-1.
Yeah, that was just brilliant, you know.
But you obviously thought, you thought you had something, because subsequent performances have backed it up as well.
Yeah, I know. It's just a cool story. Like, they offered her a Gore's Bridge last year, and she was never going to be a breezer. But to cut a long story short, she didn't sell. She wasn't making. Like, bearing in mind, she's by See the Stars, and from a good female family,
she just needed time, I guess.
Just needed time, you know. And so anyway, I was delighted to train her for the Max Days, and when I went out to see her, Johnny, to be honest, I saw her last July in the paddock, and she was quite unremarkable, you know. She'd been out in grass, and you know, she just Killian, who's a good friend of mine, my stay son, was sort of pushing for me to train her, and I look at her pedigree, I'm like, oh wow, of course, yeah.
What trumps, pedigree or physique? What's percentage-wise?
Paige can't run. I'd be big on physical. Yeah, I'd be like.
Then you look at her pedigree and you're like, what?
Yeah.
Happy to take a chance, at least.
Well, dear, thankfully she has both. But I knew once I started, you know, working her, or, you know, use that in inverted commas, educating her, bringing her away, that she was doing everything within herself. And I don't have a big string of horses, so I could never be sure, you know, how good she was. And you need a good one to go and win a maiden in Ireland. But anyway, I got her up to Dundalk a couple of times. She skipped off the surface, and I was happy that we'd let her take her chance the first day. It was everything I'd asked her to do. She did it. She won nicely, and we're en route to York next week for the Musadora, so we'll really find out how good she is then.
How exciting is that? Because she's performed very well in Pattern Company since, without quite gaining Elusive Black Type.
Yeah, she has. She really has. She's really remarkable in terms of her attitude. She's really tough, and you know, she thinks she's big. Like, you know, she's not the, you know, the. You know, she's well made, don't get me wrong, but she walks around the yard like she's 17 hands. Mm. So she's taken her racing well, and I have pitched her in the deep end. She ran well against the older fillies in Nace, and then she ran even better against her own age group in the Salsible, and ran on late. Good, listen, she's still learning and relatively inexperienced. But she's progressing with her racing, so I'm really looking forward to running her against 3-year-old fillies next week, and good galloping track in York. Yeah.
Yeah, and we should mention Glowworm as well, who's a homebred filly who has been placed twice. Right. Yeah. Now, there was a bit of a Jim Bulger about this, because you ran her twice in the space of 5 days, I think, as a 2-year-old, which I thought was quite extraordinary.
Yeah. She ran on Monday 2 weeks ago in Nace, and I was standing on the gallop in the morning of the race, and I was looking at the entries for Dundalk, and I just saw it was a very low entry. It was an auction maiden, and I don't know if some listeners might know, an auction maiden tend to be easier than an open EBF maiden in Ireland, because their weight is determined by the price they made of the sales. So I just was standing there, and I was looking at the filly hacking around on the morning of the race, and I just said, you know, if this filly could run a nice, encouraging run, a race at Nace without having a hard race, it'd be a shame not to have her in the race on Friday at Dundalk. So
did it backfire when she didn't win?
No, it didn't. It didn't, because you know, my sister owns her along with my dad, and you know she's still, you know, I think she got $4,000 for coming second, and as well as that, she got an education. She wasn't in love with the Dundalk track. Lee Roach said that was the main thing. She said she just didn't like it. He said he knew from a furlong off. He said it was ability and toughness that allowed her to come second. So.
Your father brought the dam, did he? She raced in England.
Yeah. Good knowledge, Johnny. You're catching me out all over the place.
The only bit of research I've ever done.
Yeah, Compton Place mare. I think he gave about 10,000 in foal to Bushranger for. And sure, listen, she's by epaulette, so not commercial really. But again, a nice type. So my dad and me decided to run her through the sales ring, get her auction qualified, which is all above board. So we ran her through for €1,000. And she was there to be bossed, don't get me wrong. If someone had offered, you know, probably...
She was nothing much on pedigree, because the two halves siblings hadn't done a lot and so forth.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Yeah, she was just another one that falls into that category of, you know, probably not going to make it, or, you know, in the middle, at the lower end of the market. But I see opportunity there. Like, she's a good physical. She's not perfect in front, but... She can lift that. She can lift that knee pretty quickly. She's a good physical, and she's a good temperament, and she's strong, and she's got gears. So, she's an exciting 2-year-old to have. You know.
What else do you have this year then?
This year, 2-year-old wise, I've got 4 2-year-olds in at the moment, hoping to pick up maybe one or two of course bridge, hopefully.
Anything better than Glowworm, are they?
In the 2-year-old division, I couldn't say yet, because the other ones I have are actually quite backward. Mm. So they're just doing everything within themselves at home and not putting them under a whole lot of pressure. Whereas she's been in the stalls and run really well in Nace to two really smart fillies.
I guess, are you on the market for more horses, or how are you going to grow the operation, or is that an aspiration?
Yeah, it's something I'm always thinking of, because you know, one day I have that ambition to train like 100 horses, and I think that wouldn't that be cool, and at the end of the day it would allow me to have the chance to compete more and get more winners. So I am on the market for more horses, but you know, staff is a big thing, and I don't want to kind of, I'm nailing down the system at the moment, and the horses will come along when more results come, and when the system is more refined, and when I have the staff to take on more horses, because that'd be an important thing for me. Don't like cutting corners or taking shortcuts. So
yeah,
you know that sort of way. Unless I could grow the team of staff, that'd be the first thing before I grow the team of horses.
Is there a kind of a parallel between Irish rugby and Irish racing, and that's small countries with, you know, really world leaders or thereabouts anyway?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's great. You know, look at what Valley Doyle are doing, you know, for Irish racing on the world scale. Like,
are you positive on that? I mean, I saw a piece in the Racing Post where I think it was John Cobb, who obviously he's strong Irish connections, but I think he was saying, is it a good or a bad thing in terms of British racing that Aidan O'Brien is kind of dominating these classics, whilst acknowledging his genius? You know, I think he made the point that certain owners and trainers over here would have a strong view on the matter, and the implication was clear. But how tough is it for the likes of you to compete?
Do you know what? I get this one a lot, and maybe I'm young and naive, but I think it's good. You know, I think what you have is the best horses with the best trainer, best bloodlines, you know, with the best trainer and the best lads, the best team down in Valley Doyle, and you just have this, okay, they're pretty dominant. You know, you know, everyone can see that. But you have these great horses performing to their best ability, and they're dominating, and it's cool that it's an Irish founded thing, and it just sets the standard for everyone. Like John Gosden is very good in England, and William Haggis and Mark Johnson, and I bet that they're always just trying to do things a little bit better, because if they're not, then Aidan's definitely going to win every race.
Raises the bar. Who have you riding now for you?
I have a very good, young apprentice. Her name's Vanessa May. I've just signed her on recently.
Where is she from?
She's from Maynooth, Kilcock area.
She's close enough to you then?
Yeah, close enough. And her dad, John, has actually worked for Mike Glair for a long time. And she's her boyfriend is Oisín Orr.
Oh, lovely, lovely.
Yeah, so Oisín helps.
Good rider.
Yeah, and you know what? He's helped me out.
Donegal.
From the Donegal, man.
Two jockeys from the same family from Donegal, and Conor as well.
Yeah, Conor worked for me the year before last. So, and I have another girl as well. She's in college in Enniskillen at the moment, but she'll be coming full time once she finishes her exams, which she's dreading, I think.
Any horse for us to look out for the year ahead?
It has to be Fresno. You know, it's kind of
four races after she won at 40-1.
Yeah, where Sheila has Lady Kai, I like to think that Jack Davison has Fresno, and I hope she can take me places. That it's nice to have her, and she's.
Will you hold on to her and breed off her then?
Yeah. Well, the McStay's owner, and they're very sporting. She's with me to run, you know, and we're going.
You might train her progeny.
That'd be the dream, you know. They're really good owners to have, because they're good breeders, and that gives me a chance. It gives me a chance to give any all trainers now, I think, want to get those well bred horses that can get them to compete at a decent level. You know,
the good football managers have good players as well. You know, you can't do it without them. But just looking ahead at the weekend as well.
Yeah.
Leopardstown on Sunday is a great day's racing. I remember some of my first sort of meetings when I was getting into racing was going to watch the trials and watching the Derrinstown, the Ballysacks and so forth. And I suppose the Derby picture is quite quite muddied at the minute in terms of what, you know, that's too darn hot, obviously has to reappear, and Aidan's horses. And I suppose you'd have to say the Chester kind of muddy the waters a bit, you know, yesterday, when, or rather on Wednesday, when you have a horse who's not even entered in the Derby, winning and beating Norway by 8 lengths or whatever it was.
Yeah, yeah, Sir Dragonette. Yeah, he won
Camelot horse.
Yeah, won his maiden 3 weeks ago in Tipperary.
And big price.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden rocks up in Chester and wins a Derby trial quite emphatically yesterday. Yeah, that one came from left field. So I think he's, I think the way the Derby is shaping up this year was just waiting for a horse to come from kind of off the radar.
Well, could you just explain to people listening in? So this horse is, he's by Camelot, who obviously won the Derby. He's owned by Coolmore, who have more money than basically nearly anyone in this country. Yet he wasn't entered in the Derby. Now, supplementing him isn't going to break the bank or whatever, but why was he not entered in the Derby?
I would say that he might have just been on the back burner a little bit last year. They probably campaigned him like to get a run into him as a late maturing 2-year-old. Maybe that something wasn't that smooth and they just had to back off him and give him, get another winter under his belt and set him up for an early season maiden. I'd imagine that was the case, but they probably knew they had a nice horse. I'd never been in Ballydoyle, but I can't imagine they put them under a whole lot of pressure at home. You know, Dunica said yesterday at home they learned to sleep.
Yeah.
And for me, that was a, you know, that was a big thing.
He's a good turn of phrase, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, he does. He's impressive, I'd say. Yeah.
He was mentioned in a piece. He's already training a bit for his dad. Or he's certainly like. It's obviously been a big rumour in the race that he's going to go down that road, but I'd say it could be his last year just because it's so bloody tough for him. I mean, when we had him on here, he hadn't eaten since the previous morning.
Yeah.
And even that was like, it wasn't even a breakfast.
Yeah. But isn't that, I don't know how those guys do it, do you know?
Now, he would obviously make the point, as with Joseph, that, well, I can do it because I'm riding in a classic. Mm. The lads that are riding it, you know, riding to make money, but I still find this, I get angry when I haven't, you know, had my lunch.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm a nightmare when I have no coffee in me. Yeah, well, it's just the thing.
You're a coffee man.
Yeah, I am, yeah.
Keep us all motivated in the morning. What about the Darren Sound, though? What are you liking it? Like Joseph's horse?
Yeah, I was impressed with him when he won his maiden there. It was the start of April.
Buckhurst,
yeah. I think he's an Australia horse. I saw him in the paddocks. He was an impressive, physical, big horse. You almost bet your bottom dollar that he's going to come on at least a stone for that win. He knows Leopardstown as well, you know. I think that'd help. Lloyd Williams owns him. Obviously the same owners as...
the
Latrobe.
Latrobe, and you'd imagine he could be a Melbourne Cup rekindling as well.
Yeah, so it kind of just strikes me as maybe having the same profile.
Got to be a dream for you, Jack, Melbourne Cup. Go up to Guy Waterhouse at a, you know, and say, I'm not going to ride out for you this morning, but I do have a run on the Melbourne Cup.
Yeah, well.
Could happen?
Yeah, sure, why not?
Joseph broke the mold with the 3-year-old running in the race, didn't he? Cause it's,
Yeah, he did. He
won the race, rekindling.
Yeah, but was that his first runner down there?
I think it was his first run in the race. And I thought it was extraordinary to send a 3-year-old over for the Melbourne Cup, but they might have something in hand, and I think he broke the mould a bit.
Yeah, it's amazing, really. You know?
Maybe it'll happen to you.
Yeah, well, sure, I'll continue to think big anyway.
I'll give my bet of the weekend. The Toad Irish Injured Jockeys Charity Fund increased to €4,429.44 after Johnny's Tiff Fusil Raffles landed the final Grade 1 of the Punchdown Festival. Did you enjoy Punchdown? Any interest in the jump side?
I do have an interest. I like the big festivals. Just between the jigs and the reels this year, I didn't make it. But, yeah.
Too busy. Yeah. Racing this weekend comes from Cork and Downpatrick on Friday, Cork again on Saturday, and Leopardstown on Sunday. And remember, you can enjoy the Totes versus SP. Best price guaranteed for all Irish racing this weekend. For more, see thetote.com. I will give my nap of the weekend now as well. If you haven't been to Killarney, think I might be down there. You've got to want to run it down there as well. Most scenic racetrack in Ireland.
Yeah.
Beautiful spot.
Yeah, definitely. It's... Yeah, it's definitely on the bucket list.
3:15 on Sunday, I'm going to give my nap in this La Soralita trained by Willie Mullins for Kenny Alexander, who I don't know how he's done this with the team of mares he's built up. This is actually astonishing. Honeysuckle being the main one.
Yeah.
It's just...
Those
blue colours. But, right, it's been great to have you on.
Yeah, no, thank you. Really enjoyed it.
And what about the Rugby World Cup?
Were we going to do it?
Are you going?
I can't even get away for 2 or 3 days. I could nearly 100%, with 100% certainty say I won't be going, but...
What's going to happen?
We're going to win it. You know, we're going to win it.
I think you've gone from being optimistic to kind of maybe a bit... I know why you're a trainer now, because you're a bit mad. Well. Do we have a chance?
Yeah. With Joel Smith at the helm, of course. Yeah. Johnny at number 10 is back. Yeah.
You've heard it here first. Jack, thanks a million for coming in. Yeah. And we shall talk to you again next week. Thanks for listening.
Friday Night Racing.
On Off The Ball.
And they're off.
Brought to you by Go Racing. Plan your day at the races at goracing.ie.